Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Following our obliteration of Iran's nuclear program in Operation Midnight Hammer a short while ago, we warned Iran not to make any attempt to rebuild at a different location because they were unable to use the ones that we so powerfully blew up. But they ignored those warnings and refused to cease their pursuit of nuclear weapons. In addition, the regime's conventional ballistic missile program was growing rapidly and dramatically, and this posed a very clear, colossal threat to America and our forces stationed overseas. The regime already had missiles capable of hitting Europe and our bases, both local and overseas, and would soon have had missiles capable of reaching our beautiful America.
We had stopped them from having a nuclear program, yes, but they have been rapidly building a non-nuclear missile fleet force, essentially, that threatens Israel, threatens Europe, and eventually might threaten us. And so our objectives are...
Our objectives are clear. First, we're destroying Iran's missile capabilities, and you see that happening on an hourly basis, and their capacity to produce brand new ones, and pretty good ones they make.
Right. Number one, their missile capability.
Second, we're annihilating their navy. We've knocked out already 10 ships. They're at the bottom of the sea.
Their fleet, which has been involved in so many bad actions against us and others, especially in the vicinity of the Red Sea and the, you know, the Persian Gulf, the not the Red Sea, but the, you know, the Persian Gulf, and then, you know, the Strait of Hormuz and that vicinity.
Third, we're ensuring that the world's number one sponsor of terror can never obtain a nuclear weapon, never going to have a nuclear weapon. I said that from the beginning.
Those are the three keys that he's been talking about all along.
And we will easily prevail. We're already substantially ahead of our time projections, but whatever the time is, it's okay. Whatever it takes, we will always. And we have, right from the beginning, we projected 4 to 5 weeks, but we have capability to go far longer than that. We'll do it. Whatever somebody said today, they said, oh, well, if the president wants to do it really quickly, after that, he'll get bored. I don't get bored. There's nothing boring about this. Do you agree with that, Pete? I don't think there's anything, Mr. General. I think there's nothing boring about it. Somebody actually said from the media, I think he'll get bored after about a week or two. No, we don't get bored. I never get bored. If I got bored, I wouldn't be standing here right now, I guarantee you that, to go through what I had to go through.
So originally 4 to 5 weeks, that's been a question that's been asked, is how long will this take? Of course, Pete Hegseth yesterday during his press conference at the Pentagon with General Kane, they declined to give any kind of a time parameters. The president, of course, as commander-in-chief, is free to give them or not give them or change them or whatever.
We also projected 4 weeks to terminate the military leadership, and as you know, that was done in about an hour, so we're ahead of schedule there by a lot.
Which is good. Okay, so I love that the president is giving updates. I love that he's doing, you know, CENTCOM is putting stuff out. Granted, the people doing the presentation, none of them is Schwarzkopf. So I think we all remember how captivating the briefings were in the Iraq War, first Iraq War. But I'm glad they're putting out information. That's good. And they're responding to rumors and, you know, showing that things that the Iranians have been saying are lies. That's all good. What I had been waiting to hear was about this briefing that took place yesterday. What was it? Was there any more about the rationale that we can get from it? And I actually thought Marco Rubio gave a fantastic summary of what we are trying to accomplish there and why it was justified in a way that I had not heard before. And so I really appreciate this.
The purpose of this is to destroy that missile capability. Why does Iran want that ballistic missile capability? What they are trying to do and have been trying to do for a very long time is build a conventional weapons capability as a shield where they can hide behind it. Meaning, there would come a point where they have so many conventional missiles, so many drones, and it can inflict so much damage that no one can do anything about their nuclear program. That is what they were trying to do, is put themselves in a place of immunity where the damage they could inflict on the region would be so high that no one can do anything about their nuclear program or their nuclear ambitions.
This is, like I said, I had not heard this explanation before, and so I really appreciate him giving it. Because in order to understand this, you have to understand what nuclear deterrence is. You know, the reason that we and the Russians and the Chinese don't use our nuclear weapons is partially because, you know, as decent people who don't want to kill millions of others, particularly innocent non-combatants, so we have a moral revulsion against using them to begin with. But if they decide to use them first, what do? We fire ours in response. What we say is, if you're going to kill us, we're all going to die. It is a horrible, terrible, very ethically challenging position to be in. But nuclear deterrence is the idea that if you attack us, everybody dies. If we attack you, everybody dies. So nobody attacks. Nobody starts it because the end is unacceptable to everybody. Okay, so that is predicated on the belief that they will retaliate or we will retaliate, that, you know, we'll fire back and therefore it'll be terrible. Now, Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons. So how does that analysis play out here? It's the same thing, just not nuclear. It's with conventional. They're rapidly building hundreds and thousands of missiles in order to create a deterrent retaliatory strike force capability that will make it so that nobody would ever want to attack them. You know, let's say they had 50 nukes. Nobody would be willing to attack them, like North Korea. Nobody's willing to attack North Korea because they'd be worried that if we do, they launch their nukes and kill lots of people. Well, the person who dies doesn't really care whether they're killed by nuclear weapons or by conventional weapons, except that nuclear does a lot more quickly. So if you've got, you know, hundreds or thousands even of conventional missiles with lots of capability, that still creates a deterrent effect because you're now threatening all the cities and the civilians with mass massacre. And if you have enough of that capability, you don't really have to have nuclear. Those are your deterrent threat. So if they have enough missiles, then Israel or us are no longer willing to go in and attack because too many people would die still. And that's what Marco Rubio was explaining about why it was important to act before they had that capability.
They are producing, by some estimates, over 100 of these missiles a month. Compare that to the 6 or 7 interceptors that can be built a month. They can build 100 of these a month, not to mention the thousands of one-way attack drones that they also have. They've been doing this for a very long time, and by the way, they've been doing it under sanction.
They're building their attack capability faster than we can build defense capability. That's a math problem. That math problem is continually getting worse in their favor. Had to stop it before it was decisive enough to protect their ability to be unattacked and then work on a nuclear program, because who's going to stop them? More on this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but a Highway 29 going southbound right around 10 Mile Road experiencing about a 10-minute congestion delay there. But other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I know probably how you feel. I mean, I know how I feel, and I think it's probably how you feel about going to shop for a new mattress. You don't want to do it. You dread the prospect. It's going to be expensive. They're going to be annoying. They're going to pester you and bother you and make you feel all, you know, the ickies. There's a lot of people I like to represent as advertisers because, you know, they're the not ickies, you know, and the Sleep Center is like that. They know you don't want to go. They know there's a lot of their competitors who have imitated them and do all the things that, you know, seem like the same, but they're not the same. And they know that you feel beleaguered by it, and all mattress stores are the same, and you don't want to go to one. And I understand, too. So what owner Thane Taylor for the last 30 years has tried to do is be not that. Be the place where you want to go, where you feel like if you want to be left alone, be left alone. If you want to look over things, you know, look over things. Their salespeople don't work on commission, so there's no pressure. Okay. In fact, one of the things they do for all their salespeople is they make them work in delivery first. So they learn how to interact with customers and what customers do with the beds, what problems they're trying to solve, and even down to the, like, what kind of house, you know, setup and measurements can affect whether you're able to really get a good bed fit into your room. All that, it's a way of learning the craft before you're even dealing with selling people the mattresses, right? They have the Space Foam mattress, okay? They have the best price. They have the best selection. They have the best service. They have a 30-day better rest guarantee. And so they want you to try the bed for a little bit to make sure. But they know that in 30 days, they'll get one. In 60 days, you can return it for store credit. Okay, no problem. They'll take care of you. Very low return rate. Why? Because they're trying to find you a bed that's going to make you wake up feeling refreshed. If you don't, that's a problem. But when you do, man, it's so worth it. So if you have ever been mistreated by a mattress or mistreated by a mattress store, go by the Sleep Center on the north side of Creighton, just east of Davis Highway. Back to Marco Rubio yesterday explaining why really what Iran was trying to do. And if you think about it, it's actually kind of a brilliant strategy. We can't get nukes. We cannot create the kind of deterrent capability that North Korea currently has without nukes. But we can do it with conventional weapons if we just build enough of them fast enough. Eventually, we'll get enough that they are unwilling to attack us at all. And then we can get our nukes because nobody's going to be willing to attack us.
You see the attacks they're conducting right now? They're attacking airports. They're attacking hotels. They're hitting not just military bases. They're attacking our embassies directly. They're attacking facilities that have nothing to do with war or with military. And that's a weakened Iran. That's an Iran despite years of sanction. Imagine a year from now or a year and a half from now the capabilities they would have to inflict damage on us. It's an unacceptable risk, especially in the hands of a regime that's run by radical clerics.
Yeah, with a nihilistic mindset that's, well, you know, an apocalyptic mindset that says, you know, let me get to heaven faster by killing as many infidels as I can. Not just North Korea, as I've said before and yesterday and before, you know, not just Russia, not just China, but really not just we don't care about dying, but dying is a virtue. You know, dying as a martyr in the jihad, you know, guarantees me the best possible result. Mike Johnson said similar things after the briefing.
Because of the exquisite intelligence that we had, that if Israel fired upon Iran and took action against Iran to take out the missiles, then they would have immediately retaliated against U.S. personnel and assets.
So we were losing the opportunity window to be able to thwart them from having nuclear weapons. And that alone was enough justification. Benjamin Netanyahu made an interesting point yesterday.
They bomb your embassies. They try to assassinate Donald Trump, the president of the United States, twice. They've murdered their own people. They massacred so many. And they spread a worldwide web of terror. So this is a regime committed to destroying the United States of America. It's the only country on the planet that says so openly and works tirelessly to achieve that goal.
Right. I mean, as Pete Hegseth pointed out yesterday, they chant death to America, and we brought death to them. And they acted on that. This was not just talking. This was not just, you know, missile rattling, if you might want to say it. They really did use these things routinely against us and against other people in the Middle East. So what about the other side? Well, Mark Warner, senator, who was also in that briefing.
There was no imminent threat to the United States of America by the Iranians. But if we equate a threat to Israel as the equivalent of an imminent threat to the United States, then we are in uncharted territory.
Well, if they're threatening one of their neighbors who they have never acknowledged the existence of and deny the Jews have a right to exist and want to wipe them off the face of the planet, you know, one of the few things that the Shias and the Sunnis largely agree about is that Israel shouldn't exist. Not all, but, you know, the worst ones. Okay. And so they want to wipe them off the planet and they're willing to attack and they're building up capability to prepare themselves to be able to have nuclear weapons to use in such an attack. What do you do? Well, you stop it. You don't have to wait for them to actually bulldoze their neighbor's house. You don't have to actually wait for the bomb. And if you're the neighbor who's being threatened says, hey, I don't think I can do this on my own. I need your help to defend me against my crazy neighbor. We help. The calculus here doesn't have to be an imminent threat against the United States. If you believe in defending other countries against invasion, and you should, otherwise why do you believe in nations, then you would believe in the idea of even preemptive action against imminent threat, danger, invasion, which is exactly what this is.
What is the real goal? What is the objective? What is our exit plan?
Exit plan is a good question, but still, we're not in there. We're over there, right? You follow the difference? So I'm not too worried about that. We're watching, of course. You know, what will this be? Will it be mission creep? Will it be expanded presence? Will it be, you know, actual forces on the ground? I hope not. I don't think so. I don't think that's necessary. But, you know, time will tell. It's a fair concern, so I'll give them that. Meanwhile, people here in Pensacola are upset because, what is it, 15 people, 20 people? You know, the socialists, to their credit, wearing their red shirts, explaining how they're socialists, say that this is terrible and awful and we ought to be spending our time and money here at home.
The Trump White House is saying that they are doing this because Iran was an imminent threat to the United States.
More cowbell, please.
The real imminent threat to the United States is 7.4 million people unemployed. We think that the real imminent threat is you know, the skyrocketing cost of living.
More cowbell, please. Sean Blackman on WAR yesterday. Pepper Wimmer, I think is how you say her name.
Don't support using our tax dollars killing other people in another country. This seems like it's really being pushed by Israel, by Netanyahu, and we don't need to be doing that for other countries. We need to be looking at our own country.
Is that a cowbell wind chime going on there?
Money for people's needs, not the war machine.
Well, you know, better AI chance coming. Okay, so short response to the socialist protesting. And again, I'm not making that. I mean, they're wearing shirts that say People's Party for Socialism and Liberation. It's interesting to me that they are so eager to protest the dismantling of a regime that kills people for protesting. It's interesting to me that they take advantage of having First Amendment protected rights in this United States of America, made possible by a great military and a police force who will absolutely protect your right to say stupid things with cowbell. And they're not, doesn't seem to be in any way thrilled about the prospect that Iran could become a free and open society that doesn't kill 30,000 of its own people who protest. Better puzzle making for the protesters, because they're not putting the pieces together very well right now. No. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you. But if you're on I-10 eastbound right around Pine Forest exit, going through that construction zone, experiencing about a 10-minute delay, and Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, I expect about a 9-minute delay so far in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
The first of the Ten Commandments says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." This commandment, found in Exodus 20, is startling to most Americans. Our culture has emphasized religious tolerance to an unbiblical and unhealthy extreme. No other gods means that there is only one true God. The implication is that not every religious road leads to heaven. The Bible presents us with one God whose name is Jehovah, and he is seen in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is a loving, holy, powerful God who is our provider, sustainer, creator, and savior. Isaiah tells us that he is wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting father, the prince of peace. I urge you, take time to worship him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
When I heard I needed a heart transplant, I thought it was game over. All I could think about was the memories that I wouldn't be able to make with my family.
Then an angel entered our lives as an organ donor. Their decision to register as a donor saved my husband's life.
Save lives, say yes. Register today as a donor at DonateLifeFlorida.org.
This message is sponsored by Donate Life Florida and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
Are you sure that was sounding okay?
I'll be honest, fellas, it was sounding great, but I could have used a little more cowbell.
I couldn't resist. 729 News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. President Trump welcomes Germany's leader to the White House today. Chancellor Friedrich Merz's visit comes just days after the U.S. and Israel launched strikes against Iran. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem is testifying before Congress today. She'll face the Senate Judiciary Committee as the Department of Homeland Security does remain unfunded, with Democrats demanding changes to ICE immigration enforcement operations. And voters heading to the polls today as the first primaries of the midterm elections are taking place in three states: Texas, North Carolina, and Arkansas.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. Hey, coming up next, we're going to talk to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. We've got a bunch to talk about with him. Meanwhile, it's worth noting that NAS Pensacola has changed public visitation. You do have to go in through the main gate now and go into the visitor control center and get approved. Anybody over the 18 has to go there. So you go there first. That's left lane if you're going over the bridge. Left lane, go into the visitor control center, get your permission, then go in the back gate if you want access to the museum and the lighthouse, for example.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. A warning in Tel Aviv from air raid sirens. Fox's Trey Inks is there.
A senior Israeli official telling Fox News that more than 1,000 enemy combatants have been killed in Iran since the operation began. This is based on their latest battle damage assessment.
It's primary day, the first step toward the critical U.S. Senate seat in Texas underway.
Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett and State Representative James Tallarico are seen as the primary frontrunners for the Democratic nomination. Crockett is a liberal firebrand known for sparring with Republicans. Tallarico argues Crockett's combative style could sink Democrats' chances of winning.
Fox Medal of Vera, three Republican State Attorney General Ken Paxton, Congressman Wesley Hunt, and incumbent Senator John Cornyn hoping to win a spot on the Republican side. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Sunshine right now. We've got 64 degrees here across the area. We'll get to our full forecast. That's up in just a few minutes with meteorologist Brooke Richardson and Channel 3. Now, we are learning a little bit more about the security incident at NAS Pensacola yesterday. Commanding Officer Captain Chandra Newman saying that Navy security forces responded to an unauthorized access on the base. Newman praised employees who reported the incident, saying security is an all-hands responsibility. And they have changed policies on visitation until further notice. They say all visitors over 18 will have to be vetted through the visitor control center at the south end of Navy Boulevard. That's the main gate before entering the base. Public access is available from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. every afternoon. Now, screened visitors then will have to go back out the main gate and then go to the west gate at the end of Blue Angel Parkway to get access to the public visitation areas such as the National Naval Aviation Museum. A Pensacola Beach home is heading before a county magistrate over an unpermitted renovation. Escambia County halted work at a house on Panferio Drive after the garage area was enclosed, which potentially created a livable space below the base flood elevation. Well, that's prohibited in flood-prone areas under both state and federal regulations. The property's representative says the enclosure was only intended for storage. The owner is now working to come into compliance. County officials say violations like that can impact flood insurance rates for the entire community. The case goes before a magistrate next week. The Century Community Redevelopment Agency now taking steps to revitalize a blighted section of town. The board met on Monday, electing officers and agreeing to add two citizen members before its next meeting in June. The CRA has about $192,000 in the bank, which was accumulated through a tax increment financing plan approved in 2018. So far, none of the money's been spent on improvements. The agency was established following a 2016 tornado that either damaged or destroyed 40 homes and businesses in the area. Protesters gathered in downtown Pensacola yesterday to oppose U.S. military operations against Iran. The group rallied at the corner of Palafox and Garden. They argue the strikes were unprovoked and say tax dollars should be spent at home. No counter-protesters were out, but Channel 3 did report that some drivers were yelling out in opposition as they drove by. A former police officer from Lake County is set to die by lethal injection. Governor Ron DeSantis signing the death warrant last Friday for former Muscat police officer James Duckett, who raped and killed an 11-year-old girl in 1987. He'll be put to death March 31st. The state plans to execute Billy Leon Kearse today. The 53-year-old killed a police officer in Fort Pierce in 1991. Congressman Jimmy Patronis is thanking Northwest Florida military families for their sacrifice. As U.S. forces continue operations against Iran, Patronis says the expertise driving the mission comes from our local installations.
The men and women that are pulling off these missions, they got their expertise, their know-how, their skill, the ability to execute right here in Northwest Florida. So, I mean, just all across the panhandle, this is where the skills, I couldn't be more prouder, but more importantly, I think those spouses and those families, thank you for sharing your heroes with us as they're in harm's way, trying to do what's right to create a peaceful world.
Six U.S. service members have been killed in the operation so far. President Trump has warned that more casualties are likely as those strikes continue. 735 at News Radio, John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by the Florida West Economic Development Alliance. They work to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grow Escambia County's tax base. Still rolling accident-free right now, but if you're on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Pine Forest, that's experiencing about a 12-minute congestion delay. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola. You're going to see maybe an 18-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be looking at some beautiful conditions today with temperatures warming up near 72 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 74. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 61. Heading into Thursday, partly cloudy skies, high near 75 degrees. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 66. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now we've got 64 degrees. It is, looks like cloudy right now and across the area. We'll get to our next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Scorda with Your Money Now. Oil prices are expanding as the U.S.-Israeli conflict with Iran elevates supply risk. West Texas Intermediate is up 76 per barrel. Brent currently sits at 84 per barrel. Versant Media reported full-year revenue that was down 5% as traditional TV remains under pressure. The company said non-pay TV revenue accounted for 19% of the total as they look to shift its business model. The company declared a quarterly dividend and authorized a $1 billion share repurchase program. SpaceX is expected to confidentially file for an...
Building-related illnesses. We get a lot of calls for this. Who do you know that is sick from the building they're in? Hi, this is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. Building-related illness symptoms include coughing, sneezing, headaches, itchy, watery eyes, and a host of breathing problems. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we have the solution. We can inspect, clean, and treat your AC system so you'll feel great. If you have dust issues or health problems that you feel are related to your home or office building, you should give us a call. We'll share the tips and secrets you need to know for a comfortable, healthy indoor environment. Gulf Coast Air Care is at 850-934-2768. Our service will extend the life of your air conditioner and your system will be much more energy efficient too. Let us help you by cleaning the most neglected system in your home or workplace. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com.
Edit, Sarah.
Serious cleaning, Gulf Coast Air Care.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
This week, we have everything you need to know about the Sun Belt basketball tournament that is in town, how your kids can be at Fan Fest, and the Dribble Drive.
Friday at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
You don't always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7
on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now in studio, we've got Chip Simmons, who is the sheriff for Escambia County. This is 2 weeks in a row, Sheriff, where we have to start off talking about how awesome you are.
Only two?
Yeah, only. Well, you know,
there goes your
first
ratings.
Sheriff to run unelected, unopposed for election.
Most tried the unelected part.
Yeah, unelected, whatever, you know.
How'd he get here?
Welcome back to the show, by the way. Gets a big award the prior week, and then just this last week, he wins the Pioneer Award for the Pace Area Chamber Excellence Awards, or the Pensacola Area Chamber Excellence Awards. So, well done, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Is this the last one? Because once you get the Pioneer, you're done, right?
I think this is the way they kind of set you, move on to the back there, in the backfield there.
Pace Award Emeritus now, you know. Yeah. Did they give you like a purple blazer like the DeLunas do when you get a Pioneer?
I wish they would. I could use some blazers. Cool.
You'd use them in the Blazer Academy,
yeah,
right?
Certainly. Obviously. Save some money there.
All right. Let's talk about yesterday. NAS Pensacola had announced that there was some kind of an incident going on the base at lockdown, subsequently opened back up. There was some kind of an unauthorized incursion by a person. We don't have a lot of details, but they worked with you, as is the case, because you're there to help and bolster their ability to respond. So what happened?
Well, I can't speak for NAS. They've already put out their statement, but I can tell you what I can tell you. And that is that there was an individual that I'll say wandered ashore on NAS. I won't tell you where because that's their business. But he claimed to have been in a boat that had capsized, and that's why he was wandering onto their shores.
Okay.
He fled from them, and then sometime later we were about to get out with an individual that fit that description off of Gulf Beach Highway. And when we turned our car around to get out with him, he fled.
Okay.
And so what we did is we set up a perimeter.
By the way, just I know people know, but get out with means that you have seen somebody, you're in your car, you're going to get out and confront them, talk to them, and engage them.
Get out.
That's
of our
just
car
the way you guys
and,
say
and,
it. Okay.
And interact with this individual. It's just, talk to him or interrogate him in some cases. So in this case, he ran.
Where were you when you encountered him?
Off of Gulf Beach Highway.
On the other side of the water.
Right, on the other side.
Right. Okay. All right. Interesting story so far.
So now we're trying to think, okay, this guy's missed the description. Let's try to figure out if this is the same person that they had encountered on board the base. We set up a perimeter, had drones up, had dogs up, because it'll be a big wooded area where we were at. And what we did is used our in-car cameras and took a picture of him and a still shot of him, compared that with the individual that they saw on NAS, and confirmed it was the same person. And then we also noticed it was the same person we had gotten out with or had an encounter with the night before.
Okay.
He's also a suspect in a burglary, We believe he's a homeless guy in one of those encampments over there. And so we have identified him. We are working on he has warrants on him for fleeing from our deputies in the past, and also a suspect in a burglary case from February. So I'll give you his name here. Let's see. Valinsky, Joseph Valinsky is his name, born 87. So we're going to be putting a couple more warrants on him. And we again, working with NAS police and NAS, NCIS.
Yeah.
And we do feel like we've identified the individual.
So he's wanted for other things. Then yesterday morning, he winds up on NAS Pensacola, somewhere on the shore. They encounter him. He flees, gets away, gets on a boat. Gets on a kayak. He doesn't swim the water, does he, back to the other side? Like, how did he get across? Was he wet when you got him?
Well, Andrew, if we'd have talked to him, then we'd know that information.
All right, okay.
No, we don't know. All I know is that our deputy, again, being on the lookout, as we do, and in the area, basically, saw him, turned our car around to get out with him or talk to him, and then he fled into the wood area before we can get out with him.
Okay.
So we do know where he is.
So he's still wanted.
He's still wanted. We'll find him here. We'll probably find him today. We'll have an extra warrant on him today, maybe even a burglary warrant from the investigation from February. We have no reason to believe at this point he's a terrorist threat, even though I'm not a counterterrorism expert.
Sure.
He seems to be an individual that's living out there in the woods.
Well, he just found a nice, quiet place where he could rest, you know, where nobody was going to bother him in the woods across the water on this weird island.
Well, he would have had to have gone across the bridge, to your point, back across the bridge, wandered across the bridge, I guess, or swam.
Right.
Or taken whatever boat.
Some mechanism, been, right.
You know, canoe of some sort. Because while it's not the longest stretch.
It's not the most
it's
hidden
not
either.
Now. It's
long.
Fast-moving, swift-moving water at times as well.
Yeah. We're talking to Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, that's experiencing a 13-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. We had what I would describe as a fairly minor, but a burglary vandalism at Olive Baptist Church that you guys dealt with, right?
Well, yeah, first I just got a text from Todd Thompson, who's over the chamber, and saying, we're not giving you a blazer. Thank you, Andrew. You ruined
that's
it
a little,
for me.
I mean, take that up with Todd. I don't know what the problem is. You know,
I want a hat, Todd.
Seems kind of petty, Todd.
Yeah.
Fine.
Can't afford a jacket. Whatever.
You could be the first one. It could be like that they started it with you.
All they got to figure out is the color.
Yeah.
I've got a blue
easy.
One.
Easy. Okay. Yeah, all right. Anyway, So Olive Baptist Church.
Yeah, this guy tries to throw some heavy items through the window at Olive Baptist Church, and obviously we get a call out there, and we end up catching him and arresting him and charging him with attempted burglary. We took him to get evaluated as well.
Okay. And then we have what might be described as the most entertaining or weirdest story of the week. I'll let you choose how you want to describe this, but Reese Rutledge, 36-year-old Reese Rutledge, he was engaged in what you might describe as serial self-abuse.
We got a call because this individual was at least exposing himself, and there was a mother and there was also a child in a school bus and that sort of thing.
Scary
there.
And bad.
So, and then he was gone from that specific location whenever we got there, but we weren't going to let that go, obviously. We went and found him, positive identified him, and lo and behold, he also had just gotten out of jail for a similar offense, in which he was doing that same manipulation inside another store. And so,
a Dunkin' Donuts.
A Dunkin' Donuts, yeah. And so we charged him with a felony, and our hope is that he is incarcerated for as long as the judge can possibly do it, because, listen, once is too many. You know, once, twice, two times certainly is too many. And as I understand it, he has a rather long, extensive criminal history. And I think that he needs, A, to go to jail, to prison for a while, and, B, he needs some evaluation.
Well, and the most recent incident was just, like 11 days after he'd been released for the Dunkin' Donuts incident. So,
and that's just the ones that were reported.
Right. That's what you know of, and that's what you've caught for or charged with, right? So
that's exactly right.
Yeah. You know, it's... I mean, look, you know, I'm 10 inside. You know, it's funny, but it's also a real serious problem because it's weird, it's disgusting, and people with kids and moms and families, and this is this one incident was by a school bus, stop.
Yeah.
You know, so you know you have it's funny until it's really not funny. You know, like because people do horrible things, and so I agree with you. I'm glad. Do you to a degree, this comes in the context of, you know, people who do things over and over of various kinds, and you feel like there's nothing you can do except continually arresting them. I know this is always an issue. You know, I've talked about this right. many times, but, you know, is this a case where you feel like, you know, sort of the system hasn't upheld its end of the bargain of protecting the citizens from somebody who clearly is unable to, you know, stop themselves from bad behavior?
I don't think that mental illness is something that would be new to people. If, if I say, hey, a lot of the homeless population appears to be mentally ill, I don't think many people would be disturbed at that or surprised. And so we deal with this a lot. And I know I talked a lot about whenever I was chief corrections officer that 2/3 of people that were in the infirmary were there because of mental health issues.
Yeah.
So I think that's very important for us to understand what needs to be done here. Now, law enforcement traditionally is you did the crime, you're going to go to jail. Period. We're not mental health counselors. We're not the people that can decide you go to a state mental facility or you go to a local facility or a step-down facility. We're not the ones that decide that. However, we are the ones that always get the call.
Yep.
We are the ones that have to deal with, quite frankly, everything. And we have to make decisions on this and Baker Act or whether we just arrest them and then let the court decide whether they're competent to stand trial. And you've heard over the time, we had the individual that shot up on one of our deputies, shot him 5 or 6 times, and he was going to get out of jail because he was mentally incompetent at the time, they say. And I was upset about that ordeal, right? And so there's other cases like that where people hurt somebody, and yet for some reason they're allowed to just come back out and in some capacity into our community. So my point is something does need to be done, and it's not cheap. It's not a cheap resolution to this thing, because their mental health is an experience expensive just like other medical procedures are. So where do we go from here? Is it a law enforcement issue? It certainly seems to be more
and more. You're the one who gets the call,
issue, and then we have to evaluate them. But I still think that there should be some funding, perhaps, or some movement towards what do we do in this meantime? Do we need more beds in the state facility? I absolutely think we do need more beds in the state mental health facility. Is there opportunities in the jail? I don't know what they have in the jail at this point. We used to have a lot of mental health counselors and doctors over there, and I'm assuming they still have those things. I'm pretty sure that they do. Is that enough? I don't know. It just seems like we continuously contact people. We continuously have to deal with people that have mental illness. So much so that we have our own mental health unit,
right?
A co-responding unit, and it's working very well. I talked to them. I know you're probably ready to go to break.
I'm listening.
Talking
it's
up
good.
A storm here, but
people need to hear this because it's a big problem in our society.
Yeah, in 1 month, the mental health unit responded to 200 calls. And these are 200 calls that our deputies that are assigned to routine patrol would have been going to. So there's certainly a need for this. And if I can, I'll probably enhance that. And because, again, we're taking a lot of these calls away from the deputies. Some of them are proactive. Some of those are accepting calls that would go to, a deputy that's assigned to uniform patrol.
Last quick thing before I let you go, only because we are engaged in war with Iran right now, and the natural concern that people have is about terroristic threats or, you know, sympathetic. It doesn't have to be some sleeper cell. It could be whatever, like, you know, we may have seen in Texas. And I know you may not always be able to say everything that you do know, but is there anything you do know that you can tell us about, you know, FBI briefings, anything that's, you know, to what degree we should be concerned here at home about the impact of what's going on over there?
Well, I think to say that everyone's on a heightened sense of alert is probably not saying enough.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that I've had numerous conversations just yesterday alone with our intelligence partners. And if there's something that we feel like is a concern, we're certainly going to take it serious. We're asking people, not just if you see something, but if you hear something as well, to say something to us. We can get that information to the proper authorities and do what we need to do to make sure that our community is safe.
By the way, on that note, I was at home last night prepping the show, and I heard bang, 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 bang in near my home, and I called it in because that's what you told me to do, call it in. You know, I didn't want it to be a it was clearly gunfire. And I didn't want it to be the gunfire incident that nobody called in, you know, because you don't have ShotSpotter in my neighborhood, you know. So I wanted to at least tell it. And, you know, the deputy who did a great job, a non-emergency number I called. Right. And, you know, and he's like, do you want your name? And I'm like, no, I'm good. You know, it, I mean, I'll give it if you need
just
it.
Just check and make sure.
I just want to make sure the sheriff tells me to call you. So I called you, you know.
And I hear it in my house as well.
Yeah.
And I listen and then I wait and I listen a little bit more. And it's like, was that a shotgun?
Because the guy asked me, is there screams? You know, is there anything else? I'm like, no. And it's kind of to the south and I don't really know. But
is there yelling associated with it?
Right. Yeah. And it was pretty close. You know, it's funny. Before I called, as I was on the phone with your desk deputy or whatever, my wife had gotten a text from the neighbor. She's like, did you hear that? You know, and I'm like, that's you know, how things work.
Ring doorbell thing.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
The same thing. It's like, have anyone heard that? And because we live near a relatively major roadway. And a lot of times cars are backfiring and it's loud and, you know, we just wait and see.
Yeah. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate the work keeping us all safe and informed. Congratulations again on the Pioneer Award, even if you don't get a jacket. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you. No, take care.
Thank you. 7:54 here on News Radio 92.3. If you have a home improvement project that you need to work on, you need supplies, you need advice. Oh, and honestly, one of the things about Pensacola Hardware that makes them so wonderful is not just that they've been around a long time and they know how to do it and you're going to get a very competitive price and you're going to get high quality products. You know, sometimes the cheap saw isn't the cheap saw, right? You know, because if you've got to replace, if it's half the cost, but you got to replace it four times in the same amount of time, was it cheaper? Okay. But also, they know how to do things and they will make sure you know how to do it safely, effectively, and get the end result that you want instead of just trying real hard. And, you know, honestly, they'll make sure, you know, did you also make sure to get this? Because sometimes, have you ever gone to the hardware store more than once? Because you forgot to get something you needed. That's where the expertise comes in. Pensacola Hardware has been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola for 175 years, since 1851. That is an amazing track record of success. Right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. If you're on I-10 eastbound, right around the Pine Forest exit, experiencing about a five-minute delay in that area. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing an 18-minute delay. And Avalon Boulevard rolling toward I-10 southbound, you're seeing a 8-minute delay in that area. Let's see here. 98 westbound headed toward Gulf Breeze. Oh, man, you're seeing about a 15-minute delay in that area. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Culver's knows that everyone appreciates a fresh meal that comes from the heart. Culver's Butterburger is fresh, never frozen beef seared to perfection, then topped with real Wisconsin cheese and a lightly buttered toasted bun. It's a whole lot more than a burger. It's a taste of home. Lent is here and Culver's features cod, shrimp, and walleye sandwiches and dinners. Culver's, Mobile Highway, Bayou Boulevard, Highway 90 in Milton, and coming in May to Pine Forest and I-10. DoorDash, Uber Eats, and curbside service are available. Culver's, welcome to delicious.
Raise your glass as Wine on the Water, the Grand Tasting, returns to Wahoo Stadium on Saturday, March 7th. Enjoy fine wines, craft beers, and gourmet bites from Pensacola's top chefs, all set against the stunning backdrop of Pensacola Bay. Don't miss live entertainment and a croquet and rosé tournament, plus breathtaking sailing. Get your tickets now at givesacredheart.org. That's givesacredheart.org.
It's game day. Are your moderate to severe Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis symptoms keeping you from the action? Skyrizi, risankizumab Riza, could help you get back to the game. Skyrizi is proven to help people feel significant symptom relief, achieve remission, and visibly improve damage of the intestinal lining. Skyrizi is a prescription injection medicine for adults. Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines. Liver problems leading to hospitalization may occur when treated for Crohn's or ulcerative colitis.
Control is everything to me.
Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one prescribed biologic in Crohn's and ulcerative colitis combined. Learn more at Skyrizi.com or 1-866-SKYRIZI.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care this morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape, whether foreign or domestic, Don't miss Car Care today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You ever wish someone would just ask the follow-up question?
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Jumping out of a perfectly good aircraft is not a natural act. So let's do it right and enjoy the view. Come on.
Good morning, 7:59 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is our news director and our morning news anchor. He's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Voters heading to the polls today. The first primaries of the midterm elections taking place in Texas, North Carolina, and Arkansas. Today, today's show co-host Savannah Guthrie is headed back to Arizona as the search for her missing mother continues. Savannah was spotted Monday as she visited a memorial at her mother's home in Tucson. And Apple's unveiled the iPhone 17, $599 in stores next Wednesday.
Oh, well, I'll be rushing right out to not rush out. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Coming up next, what happened with Adam Kissel at the Senate in Tallahassee yesterday? We'll tell you coming up next.
Stream us at...